Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for $1, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by The Isley Brothers, The Carpenters, The Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for $1 wherever you get your podcasts.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Guten Tag, which is German, I think. I'm not exactly... That's right? Does that mean something? Good day? Good day. I think it means good day or good night. Guten Tag. I don't know. The point is, my guest today is Stephen Malkmus, who I'm a huge fan of. This man, if I might say, changed my life a little bit, hearing his music. I'm huge Pavement fan, huge fan of his work in the Silver Jews, and huge fan of his work in the Jicks, his band that he's had for... gosh, about 14 years now. And they just put out a new record. It's called Wig Out at Jagbags. It's available everywhere right now on Matador Records. And he's got some shows coming up in Canada. So I had the occasion to speak with him. Always a thrill. I've had one other opportunity to speak to him. And it was a thrill then in person. I got to meet him in Calgary and we talked about our kids and stuff. And then, now something unusual for the show happens during this phone call. In fact, it's never happened before. I shouldn't say unusual. It's completely unprecedented. And you'll hear what happens if you listen to the show. I am still flummoxed, flabbergasted. There's probably a German word for this. I don't know what it is. Anyway, you'll see. You'll see what happens. So here it is. My recent conversation with Stephen Malkmus. Get that Jicks record, Wig Out of Jagbags. It's great. Go see them live. Wonderful, wonderful band. Wonderful man. I hope you enjoy. Hey, this week's episode is brought to you by Pizza Trocadero. For my money, the best pizza you can eat in Guelph, Ontario. A proud independent family business run by a punk rocker. Trocadero only uses a rich array of fresh ingredients cut by hand and homemade dough made daily, all baked to perfection inside of a stone oven. It's gourmet panzerotti, calzones, wings, salads, garlic bread, breadsticks, and oh man, the pizza. Personally, I like the gourmet Domateo with goat cheese, artichoke, roasted red pepper, mushrooms. I sub out the turkey breast for eggplant, but that's just me. Wash the whole thing down with a brio. Man, I am getting hungry just talking about this. Call Pizza Trocadero at 519-829-2444. Visit them at 7 Municipal Street in Guelph and online at trocaderoguelph.ca. TrocaderoGuelph.ca. That's Pizza Trocadero, a place of the good trade.
We'll be right back.
Alchemist is the lead singer and songwriter in a great band from Portland, Oregon called The Jicks. Since he dissolved his highly influential and respected band Pavement, Alchemist has led a prolific artistic life, releasing 6 albums with The Jicks and touring the world extensively over the past 14 years. The latest album by The Jicks is Wig Out at Jag Bags. It's out now via Matador Records, and the band makes Canadian stops in Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Victoria in the coming months. Here now to discuss some of these things is the legendary Stephen Malcolmus. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm great.
That's great. Where in the world are you, Stephen?
Oregon.
You are in Oregon. You sound like you might be in is there an ice cream machine or something near you? There's something like making an interesting sound.
It's just the car. It's cars. It was cars. You want me to shut that?
No, it's fine.
Yeah, we live on a busy street, and I was the door was open. I was looking for the mail.
Oh yeah. Well, did you get any mail?
I was multitasking. yeah, bills. You know, the mail's not so exciting when you've been on tour for a month.
We have a thing.
You know what's coming.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. We have a thing here in Canada that's going on right now where Canada Post is not going to deliver mail to urban centers any longer. Do you have anything like that going on?
What's going to happen?
Strike? No. It's like a permanent, like, cost-cutting measure. They're going to set up these boxes, I assume, and then you have to go and pick up your mail. Like, there'll be one person in just, like, a central location where everyone gets their mail.
Interesting. End times. We're entering them, finally.
Are you looking
for the post office is so, so bloated in America. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, all you get is bills really in the mail now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In junk mail.
It's strange. It's strange times. Now, you spent some time in Germany recently. You were living there?
Yeah, we were in Berlin. And a lot of Canadians there, too.
Yeah, there
are.
Did
you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. There's like, do you know Joel Gibb of the Hidden Cameras?
Yeah. I don't know him, but I know his band.
Right. Like, he was there. He spends time there, too. I don't know. He said there's a lot of Canadians. Like, how do you identify? Like, how do you know they're Canadians? They just say they're Canadians?
Well, when I used to travel, you know, I would often say I was Canadian, so you can't tell. It was, like, sometimes a better thing to say, like, if you were in the Middle East or something.
Right.
So, for all I know, we still... Although in Germany, I feel like America and Germany are pretty copacetic.
Right.
Most of the people I met there like to visit America. They have good times when they come, and they don't. They appreciate our loudness, our arrogance.
Sure. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the context was for you living in Berlin for a little while. How did your family deal with that? Sort of transition between.
They loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like a vacation at first, and then it was like became a really long vacation. Mm-hmm. When I first got there, I mean, in the summer, it's great there. Great playgrounds, parks, ice cream for €1. I mean, it's really family friendly. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't maybe know that if you're just a music journalist. You think it's all techno and, bars and stuff, but you know, there's.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Are you reducing my worldview to the fact that I might be a music journalist? I might not know about Germany.
Yeah, no.
You might.
Or not even necessarily.
That's the weirdest
thing. It has a reputation as like a nightclub, a nightlife place. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which
I know.
It has earned. It has earned that through bloated livers and bleary-eyed hipsters and stuff, of course. But
right. Okay.
There's another world there, you know. There's like the real people. Those of us that get up at 8 in the morning and haul our butts out in the snow and stuff.
Right, okay. So now what exactly brought you to Germany? I never really got to the bottom of that.
I just... kind of random choice to leave our home where we live, and like that's where we picked.
Oh, you just wanted to live elsewhere.
Yeah, and like not in the States, because the States are, they're kind of, we've been in almost every town here. And And so we just wanted to move left, but not too far left, you know, like what was right actually on a map, but we wanted to, depending on how you think of it, we flew right.
Thank you. I appreciate I appreciate you explaining that, because as you know, I'm just a lowly music journalist and I don't understand basic concepts of geography. And yeah, okay, thanks.
No, I didn't. I wasn't mean to. I wasn't mean. I didn't mean anything by that. I was just. Yeah, we just wanted to have a different experience, like give our kids a world, you know, perspective. And we were able to do it, you know, because of our life situation.
Right. Now you and I met in Calgary at the Sled Island Festival a couple of years ago. And
that's a fun festival.
It was good, right?
Yeah, I really had a good time.
It was rainy. The last time you were there, it was rainy. But it was still
it
really...
It was.
Yeah.
It was rainy. Yeah. I just saw a lot of good Archers of Loaf reunion, Thurston Moore. And our show itself was really fun, and the people were just pretty psyched. I thought it was great. So.
Yeah, no, it was totally rad. I really enjoyed it, too. Now, you and I actually discussed our children for a little interview we did. And you actually recommended that I get my son a trampoline.
Yes.
And
does he have a broken arm yet?
No, I didn't do it. I haven't gotten him the trampoline. I haven't had a chance to do that. He's 2.5 now.
He'll love it. I still stand by that.
No, I know. And yeah, I appreciate
it. Or I jump by that.
Yeah. Every time I have been to other people's homes and they have trampolines, and I often, it's a weird association I have with you now, trampolines, but I do think of it, and I do plan to get him one at some point. But what I have discovered is that he seems to enjoy a lot of the things that I enjoy. Like, he's like singing songs to him by bands I love and watching movies and shows I like has turned into, I wasn't sure about it. Did you have that experience with your children where, you know, you thought you had to teach them or sing to them certain children's songs, and then as it turns out, you could just sing whatever, and they might be slightly into it?
Yeah, at that age, they don't have free will, you know, so they're pretty much can barely walk to get away from you. You know? So you're in a good position there. But as time goes on, you know, they develop a sense of taste, you know, that's based around their friends and in the media and what is kind of age appropriate. So yeah, my kids don't, you can show them old stuff that you like The Point by Harry Nilsson, for instance, they like that, you know, it's not of their time, but you kind of have to start curating a bit towards their interests, not just yours.
Well, what I've discovered is, and I'm not trying to butter you up, but what I've discovered is that my boy really loves certain Pavement and Silver Jew songs. Like, he loves them. Last night I had to sing Shady Lane and Stereo to my son before bed. Like, he demanded it.
Well, that is pretty crazy. I think you must have a really cool kid.
I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm not.
They're sing-songy. I mean, those melodies are like almost like children's songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I could see that. I could see that working.
Well, he's become obsessed with. I was doing laundry near the computer, or something, and he just wanted to watch. He calls you the man with no face because of the Shady Lane video. Is this the man with no face?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, it's the man with no face. And then just go.
I like that.
Yeah, you are. You're the man with no face. And then on YouTube, you know, it tells you other stuff. So I just randomly clicked on the video by the Jicks for Gardenia. And now he's upset. Mm-hmm. Dude, he knows the words to Gardenia. Like, he yesterday, this was like on Sunday. And then yesterday I had to play it for him. And just
you should play him the JoJo's Jacket one.
Uh-huh.
Because it's really, it's animated.
Oh, the video.
And it's really kid. Yeah, it's really kid friendly.
Okay.
It's by these guys called Shinola that were like in the thousands. They did Radiohead videos, and it's really like high tech. Probably our best, our most crowd pleasing video.
Okay.
And it's for kids, so I recommend that. I don't know if he'll like the song, but he'll like the video. It's got kittens even, like, playing guitar and stuff. Like the the Kitten Bowl. I don't know if you saw the Kitten Bowl. It was
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that, but the original version.
Well, he's become obsessed with Richard Avedon because of the lyric in Gardenia. He just, like, walks around talking about Richard Avedon, so that's weird.
Well, that's a lot of culture for a young man.
it's all fleeting, though, isn't it? I ask you as a fellow parent, because you've gone through this. I know this is all fleeting, but I'm enjoying it as much as I can. Like, to have a boy just walking around singing How Can I Love You If You Won't Lie Down by Silver Jews. Like, it's just kind of an interesting time.
that's awesome. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun that, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, because pretty soon he's going to be into, you know, his version of I was trying to think of that a band that was on Warner Brothers. They were like the biggest selling kind of teen metal band of the 90s, but I can't even remember their names.
Oh.
But, you know, he's going to have his own taste. They're going to be kind of maybe hard for you to swallow, or, you know.
Well, I just...
He has to individuate from you a bit, perhaps.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It just was interesting. It was interesting to go from Raffi and the Wiggles to just, I was just like, the Silver Jews thing was he just wouldn't lie down for bed.
Yeah.
So I just started singing... Yeah. How Can I Love You If You Won't Lie Down, which is kind of an odd choice.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But then he became obsessed with it. He's like, he just walks around singing Fine Ass, and I have to, I'm like, this is very strange.
It's applicable. I think he did the right move.
For sure. Now, I want to ask you about the latest Jix record. The record's been out a little bit. You've been playing these songs live. Can you talk a little bit about distinctions you've noticed between the new songs, the last ones you wrote, and maybe... since you've left the studio, even what have you learned about the songs as you've been playing out?
Well, it just takes a little time to because what you make up in the studio, it's kind of studio a studio creation, and then you take it out, and it takes a few goes to a few shows, and to kind of just do it, you know, not worry about like how it sounds. If it sounds like the record, you know, you just gotta like push yourself out there, and we got that after the first week. And so I mean, it's, I don't notice anything being that different, but just I just notice it being comfortable to perform. And it's kind of strange. I mean, we have a lot of songs now, and we have a big amount of songs we could play, and so it's almost for us, you see it, the set list, and you're like, oh, we're not going to play that, or but we have, and you're like, yeah, we want to keep it fresh, not play the same songs, that kind of thing I noticed.
Right.
But yeah, it's I mean, we were hitting our stride when we left last week, so that was a good feeling, when you can feel a little confident instead of being nervous that you don't have it.
Yeah. I was listening to the new record the other day while I was walking somewhere, and it occurred to me that, you know, there's certain circles where your guitar playing is really highly regarded, but then there's others where maybe it's not as appreciated. And I know it's impossible for you to be objective about your guitar playing, but there's a certain amount of confidence, a certain signature within your playing. And mm-hmm. You seem to be making really guitar-driven records in an age where people aren't doing that as much. What is your kind of relationship with guitar music these days as someone who primarily plays that instrument?
Well, I tend to think of it as kind of an American, old-fashioned American thing to do. It's a little bit like, I feel like here, after being in Europe for a couple of years and just playing, you know, I feel like it's kind of a quaint, old-timey, traditional, like painting or something versus conceptual art or something. You know, it's kind of like Picasso or Matisse. And so, I mean, the goal is to just use it any way you can to trigger things, make emotions happen, or, you know, jump out at people somehow. I still try to do that, but I'm not under... I do feel a little bit old-fashioned whenever I do it.
Do you feel unappreciated in any way?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a... I'm pretty gracious with whatever we get, you know. I don't expect the world to be listening to everything we do or notice. You know, it takes a certain kind of person to want to put in the time, you know, to care
right.
about it.
Right.
And I know that. There's like a million bands and a million choices for people. And to, you know, you can't expect everyone to, you know, always pat you on the back for what you do.
Right. No, and that's fair. But I mean, even the guitar, when you talk about like it being a kind of an American phenomenon almost, I mean, guitar solos at this point are still kind of interesting to me, that they still exist on some level.
Yeah,
and I think you've done really artful things with them. I mean, they're always quite interesting, and there can be like...
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah.
I try to, and I try not to, you know, I'll occasionally do a kind of a classic solo or something, but I try not to put too many on there and like, I don't know, make them melodic so that they are... could be a voice, or it could not have to be a guitar necessarily. It's just like a melody placeholder. Because that's what I'm good at. That's what I stick with. You know, that's what I know. I kind of stick with that. But I can understand that it is somewhat retro and it's coming from a retro place. It's all right with me.
Yeah, it's interesting that you use the word retro, because I want to ask you about... I feel like within your work, and I'm making a general statement, but within your work, there's always been this tension between nostalgia and being reverent and knowledgeable about one's history, if that makes any sense. And
mm-hmm.
when I hear songs like Lariat and Rumble at the Rainbow in terms of their lyrical content, that shines through again. This kind of, as I say, I can only describe it as a tension between feeling sentimental towards the past and also, you know, owning up to it, acknowledging it. How would you describe that space for you? Are you somewhat cynical about your past or our collective past and how to relate to it as an artist?
I wouldn't say cynical. I mean, it's just you know, as a music fan, which obviously we are, and everybody is, just about, you know, there's levels, of course, but we have our favorites, and you know, I do come from a culture or a group of people, like certain bands from the past is like what we, you know, that's what like makes our hearts really like beats, you know, and it's often music that's very old and certain eras, and you know, we look through all eras of music in the past. We kind of wait a little while to see what filters through and what like moves us. So I you know, I feel that's just my relation to music is a collected memory of like all the things I love. So I just play from that, from today, you know, like it's just a journal of the stuff we do is like what today is moving me from then. So
but a song like Rumble at the Rainbow, which is a very like pointed kind of, I think it seems like a pointed examination of kind of the ritual of music. And sort
mm-hmm.
of sort of punk rock in particular is this, you know, people have often said punk is dead, and other people have said punk's not dead. But there's something about Rumble at the Rainbow that really cuts through. It seems like your most pointed statement about maybe even just the general concert ritual and the general ritual of like, this is the music that defines me, and I'm not moving past it. And
that's okay though. I mean, I think there will be a moment when there's a certain point when certain artists or, you know, they're going to be like on your, tattooed on your soul, and like you can't, when you hear them, it's like, you can smell the time that it was and like what you, there's no, you can't really like expect something new. Something, it's usually in your adolescence, that it's going to, it's just like when you, whatever kind of mate you pick or something, you know, it's probably due to like your upbringing or, you know, your environment mixed right. with your genes or something, but it's kind of in there and it's inevitable almost, what you're going to like. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a cynical thing necessarily. I mean, the chorus of that song, it says, can you feel the rush, or, you know, do you remember the rush and that feeling? It's like, to me, that's like a Katy Perry song or something, the lyrics, you know, it's just like a pop chorus, you know, it's just like, yeah, I remember that, you know, I'm, yeah, hell yeah, you know, it's kind of universal. Things that are universal are not, there's a reason that they are, you know, it's not nothing to be cynical about. It's like real. It's a real thing, you know, it's not a, you can't really deny it.
To me, that's,
you know, it's not being cynical about, like, when you say the government is, like, lies to you, it's not cynical. It's like, people call that cynical, you know, it's like, it's like a fact.
It's true, right?
people just call it cynical now. I don't know why they do. You know, it's kind of irritates me often.
Do you find that that's a brush that you're often painted with, like a kind of, because cynicism also suggests a kind of, or maybe it's just been misappropriated or something, like it kind of suggests a distance or something from something,
a distance or above it all or something, you know, and it's not a, anyone that comes to see us knows we're not above it all, we're in it, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you're also getting at the kind of weird knot between a person's sense of self and nostalgia, I think, because that that can contribute to how you see yourself, is how you see your past.
That's true. I agree with you.
I see it come through sometimes in your, I mean, even when I think back on the stories revolving around the Pavement reunion tour, I mean, there was this sense from, or if I happen to run into Bob Nastanovich or something, it's like, it's up to Steven, mm-hmm. kind of like it's Steven's deal. And my sense was that it was put off for so long because you were doing your own thing and you didn't have an interest in potentially nostalgia or the interest in,
well,
I don't know. This was just my perception.
I was more into it as pure nostalgia, you know, like not, you know, I didn't really see it as a living thing anymore, you know, in a certain way. Like, I was happy with it being a memory that, you know, like, if, as far as I was concerned, I would like it just to be the exactly like a Pavement show, the same amps, the same venues, even the same set list. It was done like 1994 or something, you know, like that's kind of how I like my reunions to be. I like it, the band to sound like as closely as they would have sounded, you know? Mm. And like, I think it's a failure when they don't, you know? So I think,
so pure nostalgia. That's interesting.
I gotta go. The next call.
Oh, there's something else. Oh, okay. You gotta go. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we,
but nice, Nice talking to you.
Okay. That's yeah. I guess that's it. This has never happened
I'm
on this show before, but you're a groundbreaking guy. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry I got to cut it off, though. I think maybe we started late or something.
We did start late. Yeah, there was some technical issues. Well, if you want to talk again, let me know, and maybe we can finish it up. But because I had a couple more things I wanted to ask you about, but I don't want to have you miss the call. So why don't we? We'll see. But I appreciate your time. If we don't speak again.
No, I appreciate your time, and we did cover a lot of ground. But I got to. Maybe because you couldn't call from the other thing, it got behind, and like I'm on a schedule.
Yeah. I'm sorry. All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and we'll see you. And I'll tell people when you hang up where you're going to be.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you too, and good luck with your young man.
Okay. Thanks, Stephen.
Okie doke.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye now.
Unprecedented. That's never happened on the show. Well, I'll just say that the new album by Stephen Malcolmus and the Jicks is Wig Out at Jag Bags. It's out now via Matador Records, and the band makes Canadian stops in Toronto and Montreal in February, and then in April in Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Victoria in the coming months. You can learn more about them at stephenmalcolmus.com. So, yeah, normally at this point I'd be playing a song that I asked the artist or the guest to pick, you know, and I didn't get a chance to ask Stephen that, to select a song from the new Jicks album for us to hear, so I don't feel right just doing it. In fact, I can't. So I guess instead of that, I don't know what to do. I could... Actually, I have an idea. I recorded something recently. I don't know what it sounds like, but maybe it'll work for this, given the context of the interview. Here is my son and I singing Pavement songs together just before he goes to bed. We're lying on the floor. It's not the prettiest renditions, but it's an example given what we talked about. I think it's relatively appropriate. You be the judge. Here's my son and I singing Pavement songs. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, ready? One, yeah. Two, three, four. Pigs, they tend to wiggle when they walk. The infrastructure rots, and the owners hate the jocks with their agents and their dates. If the signature's a check, you'll just have to wait.
We kept the instance
that we saved tired nations so depraved. From the cheap seats, see us wave to the camera. Took a giant ramrod and raised the demon settlements. But hi-ho, silver ride. Hi-ho, silver ride. Take another ride to see me. Oh, listen to me. I'm on the stereo. Stereo. My baby gave me malaria. Hysteria. What about the voice of Geddy Lee? How did it get so high? I wonder if he speaks like an ordinary guy.
I know he does.
Then you're my fact-checking cuz. Focus on the quasar in the mist. The Kaiser has a sis, and I'm a blank one. List the qualms you have, and if they stick, they will drown you in a creek in the neck of a woods that was populated by tired nation on the fly. Everybody knows advice that was given out for free. Lots of details to discern, lots of details, but hi-ho, silver ride. Are you going to
sing? Oh, yeah.
Hi-ho, silver ride. Take another ride to see me. Oh, get off the air. I'm on the stereo. Stereo. My baby gave me malaria. Hysteria. Do you want to do Shady Lane now?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we start together?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Blinded with a chance of we had oysters and dry lancers and check limit a rock. We went Dutch, 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 a redder shade of neck on a wider shade of trash. And this emery board is giving me a rash. I'm flat out. You're so beautiful to look at when you cry. Freeze. Don't move. You've been chosen. Oh, you'll cough. You okay? You've been. You gotta cover your mouth when you cough, you know. You okay?
Yeah.
Wanna keep going?
No.
You wanna stop?
Yes.
No, you don't wanna keep singing the song?
I do keep singing it.
Okay, where were we? Freeze. Don't move. You've been chosen as an extra in the movie adaptation of the sequel to your life, A Shady Lane. Everybody wants one, A Shady Lane. Everybody needs one. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God, oh your God, oh his God, oh her God. It's everybody's God, it's everybody's God, it's everybody's God, it's everybody's God. The worlds collide, and all that we want is a shady rain. Okay, let's do the next part. Glance, don't stare. Soon you're being told to recognize your heirs. No, not me. I'm an island of such great complexity. Stress surrounds in the muddy, peaceful center of this town. Tell me off in the hotel lobby, right in front of all the bellboys and the over-friendly concierge. A Shady Lane. Everybody wants one. A Shady Lane. Everybody needs one. Oh my God. 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 Oh your God. Oh his God. Oh her God. It's everybody's God. It's everybody's God. It's everybody's God. It's everybody's God. The worlds collide. And all that we want is a shady rain. Very good.
Yeah.
You want to go to sleep now?
No.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca or if you're in the KW region at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkhanna.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.